Yes, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this presence. We welcome you in this place. Reveal Jesus to us now. Yes, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts. Open our hands. That we may see Jesus. That we may hear Jesus. That we may encounter, experience Jesus in our heart. And that we may serve Jesus with our hands and with our might. And Father in heaven, I pray for all my friends who are joining in this time of worship. We have prayers, supplications, requests. In the name of Christ, our risen Lord, listen to their cries and come to their aid. Provide comfort, hope, and courage. Amen, amen. And now, friends, I want to invite you to pray this Lord's Prayer as Christ Himself taught us to pray. The words of the prayer will be displayed up on the screen. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, this past weekend, we have experienced one of the worst mass killings in Canadian history. More than 20 people were killed in the province of Nova Scotia. 23 people. Among the victims are a pregnant woman, a family of three, retired people, and RCMP officers. Innocent victims just killed, and we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. One of the worst tragedies in the Canadian history. And I'm wondering myself, I am wondering in my heart, what is going on? I thought COVID-19 was bad enough. Did you know, since COVID-19, the domestic violence rates have gone up exponentially? Yes. I have found from the news and the media that the domestic violence has become more frequent, more dangerous, and it is creating havoc in the lives of Canadian people. In fact, the studies show that whenever families get together, whenever people get together, like in Christmas times, holidays, or vacation times, the domestic violence rates go up. Why is that? Did you know, since COVID-19, the number of visits to pornography sites have spiked exponentially? Why is that? Why is that? And I thought COVID-19 was bad enough. Now, before we blame all the rest of the world and everybody else, let's talk about ourselves. Isn't it true? Whether it was COVID before COVID-19 or during COVID-19 or right now in the midst of it, much of your problems, much of my problems remain the same. Isn't that interesting? You see, COVID-19 is not a catalyst. COVID-19 did not cause all these sufferings in my world, in your world. The problem is this. Wherever you are, there you are. Wherever you are, there you are. You see, what's the common denominator in all these? What's the common denominator when you look at all your mistakes of your past, of all the wrong choices that you made, and of all the people that you hurt, and of all the financial mistakes that you have made, and of all the relationship breakup in your life with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your friends? What is the one common denominator? That's right. It's you. Wherever you are, there you are. The biggest challenge in our life is not really COVID-19. It is formidable. It is a huge challenge, but there is a bigger challenge. Now, the Bible calls this, when you are not in control, submit yourselves to the kingdom of Christ. The problem for us is that the biggest challenge, the biggest problem, the biggest obstacle, the biggest headache, the number one reason for which we experience all these problems is this. In your life, in my life, the biggest challenge is we want to be our own king. We want to be our own king. You want to be in control of your life. I want to be in control of my life. And we make ourselves our own king. And we build our own kingdoms. And that's what we are most concerned about, making a name for ourselves. I live in Edmonton. No one comes to Edmonton for culture. No one comes to Edmonton for the music. No one comes to Edmonton for food. Well, that can be debated. But most people come to Edmonton or Alberta because of the industry, the oil industry. We come here to make an opportunity. We come here to make a name for ourselves. The entire infrastructure is built on, really, the oil industry. That is number one industry in our province. And people come from all over the world. Many of my church members, they've come from all over the world because they want to come here to make a name for themselves, to make a living. But more than that, to make a kingdom for themselves, for ourselves. And this all began, not with us, it began in the Garden of Eden. The Bible declares, the Bible teaches us that when Adam and Eve, our first parents, they rebelled against God saying, we don't want you to be our God. We'd rather be our own God. We want to dictate, define who we are. We want to call the shots. We want to declare. We want to define. We want to dictate what is right for us. We want to be our own king. We want to build our own kingdom. And because of our first parents, it's as if we were there in the Garden of Eden ourselves. We would have done the same thing. In fact, that's exactly what we're doing. The biggest challenge in our life is not COVID-19. But that we want to be our own king instead of Jesus Christ. So here's the big idea. Here's the big theme and the goal. When you feel out of control, submit yourself to the kingdom of Christ. When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel things are not going the way you planned, especially when that happens, when you don't feel you are in control, when you don't feel you are the king of your life because everything is falling apart, submit yourself to the kingdom of Christ. Now, truth be told, you and I are never in control. Isn't that interesting? It's a mirage. It's an illusion. I want to think, I want to tell myself I am in control. You want to tell yourself, you want to convince yourself you are in control. But that is a deception, isn't it? We are never in control, especially when we are trying to be in control, when we want to be our own king, when we are building our own kingdoms, especially then, none of us is in control. And I believe that Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is saying, especially then, submit yourself to the kingdom of Christ. We are in this current series called, Who is This Man? The Gospel according to Mark. He's asking the question in this Gospel of Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus Christ, who is this man? And in today's text, the answer Mark gives to you and me is this, Jesus is the kingdom of God. Jesus is in control. Jesus is sovereign. He is the one who rules and reigns over your life. And He wants you to submit to His kingship because that's the best way for you. And that's the best life for you to live because there is joy, there is peace, and there's hope, and there's meaning and purpose, you see. So let's read the text for today. It's coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, and that's Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. This is the first place in which, in the book of book of Mark, Jesus speaks. And he says very few words. He says, kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Receive the kingdom. Okay, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of people. It starts right off. It says John was put in prison. John the Baptist, that's not an accurate title of John. He wasn't a Baptist, he wasn't a Reformed Christian, he wasn't an Anglican, he was not Anabaptist, he was not a Mennonite. Rather, he was a baptizer. He came and baptized people, preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So anyhow, when John the Baptizer, he was put in prison. You know what happened to him? He proclaimed the kingdom of God is near. He proclaimed that Jesus is the one who has been promised to be the Messiah and the King for us. And he began preaching. He began declaring that. And one of the things that he said was, the King Herod, the king of the land at the time, he divorced his wife and he married his brother's wife. And John spoke against it because kingdom of God is near. Repent, make things right. And for that, he was put in prison. How do you suppose John was feeling at the time? Lord Jesus, I thought you are in control, not the King Herod. And I proclaim your good news. And yet, what's happening to me? I am in prison. I wonder if John was feeling, when you feel out of control, submit yourself to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of Christ. The disciples. 2,000 years ago, the Israelites were under the Roman occupation. They had to pay taxes to Caesar in Rome. They had to submit themselves to another king, the king of Rome, Caesar Augustus. And I wonder how they were feeling. God, life is not in control. We thought we were putting our trust in you, and what's happening? Caesar is in control. And when he's in control, nothing is in control. We are living in this occupation, we're under the domain, subjection of the Roman Empire. And I wonder if Christ was saying to them, yes, indeed, when you feel out of control, submit yourself to the kingdom of Christ. Verse 14, let's continue on. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Friends, the first words Jesus ever spoke as he started his campaign of his kingdom. And the first words is what? The kingdom of God has come. But then he goes on to say, this is the good news. Good news, good news. The actual Greek word for good news is gospel, as in gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a technical and historical terminology. You see, good news meant something else to the first audience of the book of Mark. The audience, the first recipients of the book of Mark, they were in Rome. So they were very familiar with the Roman culture. And here's what's interesting. Before Jesus came, we found in the archaeology this inscription of an ancient Roman inscription, which read, "The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Caesar Augustus." You see, that phrase, good news, gospel, that word is a very historical and cultural terminology. It describes an event, a history-shaping event that happened and that changed everything. It's not a good news as in, hey, when a Korean guy asks you, do you have good news? You know what he's asking? He's asking, are you and your wife expecting a child? He's not talking about good news as in, hey everyone, I have a good news. I got an A+ in my final exam. He's not talking about a good news as in, hey everyone, I hit the jackpot. He's talking about something else, the good news, the gospel. It's a history-shaping event that changes everything. Let me give you an illustration. The beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the good news of Caesar, the King Augustus. It's referring to the fact that because of King, the Caesar Augustus, there was an event, whether it be his birth, whether it be his coronation, whether it be his victory over the enemies. The good news is that if it affects, something happened, an event happened, and it affects, reshapes the life of entire Roman citizens. All right? So here's another example. When Greece was invaded by Persia, there was a great battle in Marathon. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Okay? And everyone in Rome, people were afraid. If we lose, if our king loses the battle, and we will become subjects of the Persians. Well, they fought, the Romans fought the Persians, and the king, Caesar Augustus, fought. Okay? Excuse me, I don't have my history correct there, do I? The Roman emperor fought, and they won the victory. And they sent a runner all the way from the Battle of Marathon back to Greece. And the runner ran miles and miles. And as he arrived in Greece, and as he breathed his last, as he was dying out of exhaustion, because of the exhaustion, he declares, good news, gospel, we have won. You will not become slaves of the enemies. And he died. See, that's the good news. An event that happened in history and that reshapes everyone's life, and therefore it has huge implications. And that's what Mark is saying. Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God is near. And that's the good news. The kingdom of God is near. I have come as your king. And that reshapes everything. That changes everything. It's going to change who you are. It's going to change how you live your life. It's going to change your outlook in life. It's going to change and reshape everything because I have done something for you. That is good news. That is the gospel. It's like this. There's nothing you can do to save yourselves. Let's suppose everyone here, you and I, everyone in the world, has been infected with COVID-19. And let's suppose we are going to die in 14 days. All right? Okay? What's the solution? What's the salvation? Every one of us, we find our own cure. Every one of us develops our own vaccine. Well, here's the problem. I don't know how to do that. I want to find the cure. I want to develop the vaccine, but I'm not able. I'm not capable. It's as if Christ coming to us. Good news, everyone. Gospel. An event happened. I am the cure. I am the vaccine, and I'm giving it to every one of you. Receive it and be saved. And that's what Jesus Christ is proclaiming, that he is saving us, saving ourselves from our own kingdom, kingdom of destruction, kingdom of selfishness, kingdom of demise. And he says, you got to change your king, Victor. Step down from your throne. You got to change your king, Mike. Step down from your throne. You got to change your king, Anne. Step down from your throne. Let Jesus be your King. So, here's what Christ says. 3 points. Since He is the one who brings the kingdom to us, that saves us and saves everyone. Number one, following Jesus as your King requires two things, repentance and faith. That's right. Since Christ wants to be your King, and in the heart of hearts, we want Him to be our own King. When we run our lives as our own kings, things do not go well, do they? So in the deepest place of our souls, we want Jesus to be our King. And He says, here's how it happens. When you make me your King, Victor, receive the grace. Repent and believe. It requires that I repent and requires that I believe. Repentance in the Greek word simply means this: turning away from the wrong way and start going the right way. You know, my wife tells me, honey, you don't have a good sense of directions, do you? She's right, I don't. And the other day, I was driving to work, to church here, and no one's here. I'm all by myself. And I was talking to my wife on the phone, hand-free, and I missed my turn. I was going the wrong way all of a sudden. So, guess what I did? I repented. I recognized I was heading the wrong way, so I repented and I began heading on the right way. That's repentance. It requires, in this context, me and you, we say, Lord Jesus, we are going the wrong way. We got the wrong King in our throne. And we're going to turn around and head the right direction. And what's the right direction? Lord Jesus, You be my King. Lord Jesus, You know better than I do. Lord Jesus, I submit myself under Your kingship and Your authority. It also requires believing. Christ says, repent and believe. It requires faith. Friends, you know what faith is all about? It's receiving the gift and then trusting the gift. Receiving the gift with both hands and trusting the gift. Let me clarify with my previous illustration. If Christ is the King and He has the cure and He's giving it to me and you, it requires that we receive it. We receive it. That's what it means to believe. We receive actively, gratefully, passionately what You're giving to us, Lord Jesus. And we trust it. It's not enough for me to receive the vaccine, is it? I need to apply it. I need to inject myself with the vaccine. That's trusting it. I apply the cure. I believe it, I receive it, and I apply by trusting it. Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust that You are my King, and I'm going to act, live as if You are my King. And that's faith. That's belief. When you feel your life is out of control, submit yourself to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Second point, following Jesus Christ as your King is both an event and a journey. It happens in a moment, but it takes a process. You may say right now today, Lord Jesus, I trust You. I receive You as my King. It's an event. It takes a moment for you to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's all it takes, sheer faith. At the same time, it takes a journey. It takes a lifetime. It is a long process. I became a follower of Jesus Christ when I was in my second year in the university. Okay? It happened then, but ever since, every day, I submit myself under the kingship of Jesus Christ. Every day, I have to say, I choose to follow You, Lord Jesus. Christ says, come, follow Me. Simon, Andrew, come follow Me. James, John, come follow Me. In the Greek language, come follow Me, it is a present tense. What that means is this: come, Victor, follow Me. Victor, keep coming, keep following Me. It is an event and a journey. It takes a lifetime. Isn't it true? For you and for me, let me speak to the followers of Jesus Christ. And it's true of me. Even though I had become a follower of Christ, even though on that day, in my second year in the university, I said, Lord Jesus, you be my king. I submit myself under your kingship. Even then, I have fallen away. It's a journey. I took a step back. But then Christ calls me again, Victor, I want to be your king. You follow me. I love you. I love you. I am for you. I want to be kind to you. I want to be generous to you. Receive my gift. Repent and believe all over again. So I have, time after time after time. Friends, this is what we know. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, those four young men, they say yes to Jesus on that day. Here's a question for you. When you read the Bible, have they always been faithful? The answer is no. They have faltered. They have stumbled. They deny Jesus. Oh no. And yet, Christ, our King, is so kind, so patient, so willing and able to receive us time after time after time. And that's what happened to those disciples. Even though they denied Christ, even though they ran away from Him, even though they rejected and neglected Him, they forsook Him, and yet, with Christ's invitation as their king, they came back and their life was filled with joy and purpose. When you feel your life is out of control, submit yourself to the kingship of Jesus Christ. Third point, following Jesus Christ as your king means you become an agent of His kingdom. An agent, a conduit, a vehicle. You usher in the kingdom of Christ. Let me read in verse 17. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. In the old translation, I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, friends, for the longest time, I thought, Jesus, man, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You go out and fish men, people for me, and hook them and bring them in. Well, that may be one interpretation, but here's something, another interpretation, which I appreciate. To the ancient people 2,000 years ago, the metaphor of sea and water, it meant chaos, destruction, lostness. See, sea cannot be controlled. People were afraid of the power of the sea and the waters. So in the ancient times, to the ancient people, the sea represented destruction, lostness, chaos, confusion, out of control. It's as if Jesus is saying, since I am the king over your life, since I'm going to bring in order and calm, and joy and peace in your life, you become my agent. I'm going to send you to fish people. In that, you become an agent, a conduit, a vehicle through which I may bring about order. I want to bring kingship into the lives of your family, your friends, and your loved ones, and your colleagues, and your coworkers. Yes, even your neighbors, and even your enemies. Become my agent. Well, what does that look like for you and me? My wife and I, we pray every day in the morning together. We pray at 7 a.m. I bring her a cup of tea. I got my own cup of coffee myself. And we sit down, we chat for a bit, and then we pray. And when we pray, we always remember the seven people in our lives who are not close to Jesus, who don't know Jesus as their King, who don't appreciate, who haven't experienced the joy of serving Jesus as their King. So we pray. And the first thing we pray is this, Lord Jesus, break our heart for what breaks yours. And you know what breaks Jesus' heart? You know what breaks the King's heart? King's heart is broken for the lost people out there, people who don't know Him. So that's what we pray for. We got, we We name the seven people, more than seven actually, and we love these people. Our heart aches. My wife weeps as we pray for them. So that's one way by which we become fishers of men. We become the agent of Jesus' kingdom. Second application. I want to challenge you. Nope. I deem it is good to me and good to the Holy Spirit that you be challenged in this. Of the people that you pray for, if we don't have seven, that's fine. Just pray for one person. All you got to say is this. Holy Spirit, break my heart for what breaks Jesus' heart. And He will give you a name and a face. So there's the person that He, Jesus, wants you to pray this week. And as you do so, the second application is this. Call him up. Call him up and ask, hey, how you doing? Are you doing all right? Do you feel that you are in control? I mean, you don't have to say it like that, but as you engage in conversation, the Holy Spirit will open up a door. And when He does, you can simply ask, can I share with you? Don't preach to them. Don't preach at them. Simply share when the moment is right. May I share with you how I find serenity, how I find joy and peace and meaning and purpose? And you can say, because Jesus is my King. I submit myself under His kingship when my life seems out of control. I believe this will be a fantastic way through which you may glorify Christ and reach people to Jesus. Friends, let me sum it up. When your life seems out of control, submit yourself under the kingship of Jesus. He loves you. He accepts you just the way you are. And He will transform you. And He will make your life all the better. Not only for you, but for your loved ones. I want to end with a prayer, okay? So would you pray with me? And as we pray, I'm going to give you time to respond to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray for my friends, first and foremost. Through the hearing of these words, give them the gift of faith. Yes, Lord. Give them the gift of repentance. Yes, Lord. Enable them, Holy Spirit, to turn, repent, and then start heading the right direction. Your kingship is what we want. Friends, say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I submit myself under your kingship. And that prayer is sufficient for you because it starts today. It's an event and a journey. It starts in a moment right now and for the rest of your life. It's a wonderful, wonderful journey and a process. And now, friends, let's submit ourselves, all of us, for your marriage. Some of you are hurting. Your marriage is bad, but it was bad even before COVID-19, wasn't it? You're not surprised. You are heartbroken, but you're not surprised. Some of you, you are in a dire, dire financial situation, and things are really hard. Yes, things are hard. But friends, let's be honest. They were hard even before COVID-19. Maybe things got worse. But it was hard. And friends, you are lonely today. You are hopeless today. It's not because of COVID-19. It has something to do with it. But even before COVID-19, you were lonely and alone. Friends, wherever you are, there you are. The common denominator is that you were there, and you are there even now, in every wrong decision, in every bad mistake, you are there. Isn't it time for you to make Jesus your King and say, Lord Jesus, you take the driver's seat, you drive, and I will follow. Submit yourself, trust Him. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, I will, Father. Yes, I will, Jesus Christ. Yes, I will, Holy Spirit. I will follow you. I will submit. We pray all this In the name of Jesus. Amen.